my listening friend. Welcome to the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. It's November 12th, 2014. We're sitting on the eve of the Wellness and Brain Fitness Fair. Jason, are you going to go there tomorrow to Lincoln Square Mall and have your brain checked out? I don't know. Do you need a little brain exercise or two?
No, I think I'll be okay.
Yeah. We'll let our listeners discern or determine that maybe after our study through the Book of Acts today. But I want to point that out. If you were tuned in on Monday, you heard from Dr. Bill Gingold. I appreciate his work and his research.
What's his name?
Bill Gingold.
Is that stuff you take for brain stuff? Gingold?
Yeah.
Is it?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, I think
there. Isn't there like a ginkgo or something you take for brain health?
No, I don't know. Maybe.
Oh, I was wondering if he was tied to that somehow.
Or... I don't know. He's done a lot of research over the years, and I know they're going to have a lot of little different screenings, they call them, where he talked about it on Monday, where you can discern or determine or detect certain things by how firm your handshake is. He said that's one of the determining factors, and lots of different things. I think 80-plus exhibitors, Great News Radio will be there. So that's happening. It's a free event at Lincoln Square Mall.
Are you going to have like a booth?
A table laid out. In fact, they're going to put us in a prominent place, I think right in the center of the mall. There's like 70 tables, and we're table like A or B, right in the very middle.
Oh, wow.
So I'll set up some Great News Radio literature, program guides, voice listener surveys, prize drawing, bucket. And,
so how do you fit into wellness and brain fitness?
Well, see, spiritually, I'm addressing the spiritual element because the wellness includes physical, mental, environmental, social, educational, and spiritual.
Oh, okay.
In fact, they actually tracked me down and said, might I be interested? I think one of the other radio stations, for whatever reason, somebody bowed out. And I play racquetball on the court with him. He's 75 years old, and he's still a really good player, very athletic and healthy. And I've had various discussions with him over the year. But while we were doing the interview on Monday, I learned that he was a Holocaust survivor. He was just a kid in the camps, and he lost his parents and family members. I didn't know that as we were just talking, and we didn't really get to go there during the interview, but it's kind of one of those things I want to follow up, and I've gotten to know him over the past couple years, but it's a free event. It'll do screenings for those 50 and older, but they'll also have some games and activities for children, so it's a free event for everyone. Come on out to the Lincoln Square Mall in Urbana, Illinois, from 10 to 1 p.m. tomorrow. That's Saturday, September 13th. And then on Tuesday and Wednesday, it was fun with the different interviews that I got to be a part of. On Tuesday, it was Hattie Kaufman. She's the award-winning correspondent, and she recently wrote the book Falling Into Place, a memoir of overcoming. She is a Native American, and it was neat to hear how she came to terms with who God was in her, like, 50s.
Oh, wow.
And actually, it's kind of a relatively new faith journey for her, so she'll be coming and speaking at our website, greatnewsradio.org, under the events tab. You'll see the different locations she'll be speaking at or sharing or doing book signing. And then on Wednesday, I know you weren't able to make it, but I had Rick Santorum on, and so that was kind of neat to hear the faith element of his story, because if you're like me, I'm always skeptical when a politician, you know, they know how to coddle their audience. They know how to, the talking points to whatever group they're going to speak to.
The currency of evangelicalism.
Yeah, and so he shared, you know, the importance of prayer in his life and his commitment to his family, and shared a little insight into his faith journey. He's now CEO of a film company that's putting out family-friendly, faith-filled films. And some other things that he's doing.
Can you say that fast?
I don't even think I could say
family
it again.
Family-friendly faith films.
Faith-filled films.
When you were saying it, I was waiting for you to mess that up. I'm going,
I don't even know how I got it out.
Can he get it?
I'm kind of amazed myself. Well, don't ever ask me to do that again. But it was neat talking with him and a little about his campaigning and just the rigors. I said, how do you keep balance in your life when you're on the road so many days, poured out night and day? In fact, when I tried to arrange the interview, we were supposed to have a 10 o'clock, and then I called him, and he was on another line. He said, can I get back to you at noon? Call me back at noon. Called him at noon. He said, how about 2? They had been triple booked, and by the time I got him at like 2:45, you heard our tape conversation, but that's how all of his days are.
And, wow.
But I said, how do you keep balance? He has 7 children. and, you know, time with your wife. And he said, Mark, he said, I have to ask for forgiveness many times. Many times, you know, I do it fairly right. I'm fortunate that my wife's a part of my campaign when he ran for senator and ran for Congress and so forth. But he said, you know, oftentimes we're just exhausted. Mm-hmm. And he said, so we pray and we lean into each other when we can. And anyways, it was, and he said many times he looked at it as like a mission field. He's like those business people that travel. He has to be away from the family. Because I said, how does he stay connected with his church or his parish and, mm-hmm. you know, God's word? And he talked about it's like being on the road, and that's my mission field. And so he had some really good answers.
He'll be speaking at the Life Banquet for Living Alternatives Pregnancy Resource Center.
That's right. You're going to be a part of that.
Yeah. We haven't listened to the interview yet, but we're going to log in and listen to it because I guess we're sitting at the table with him because I'm going to be delivering the benediction. So, and we got our invitation to, I guess, be able to go afterwards and meet him and his wife. And so.
Yeah, you get the little book signed. In fact, two of the photographs on the wall over there, the one with Martin Luther King's niece, Loretta King, and then the other one with one of the Graham daughters, Ruth Graham. Yeah. Those are all from past Pregnancy Resource Center banquets. So, yeah, those are in the studio. Those are past banquets where we got to meet and talk with them. So, yeah, it'll be a great banquet. I don't know if they're still taking...
Oh, still room. I'm sure there is, isn't there?
Quite possibly. I know they can fit almost 1,000 in this. I forget what they call it. It's over near...
The Fluid Convention Center. Or Fluid,
yeah, like a Market
something.
View Drive.
Yeah.
It's an old lumber company building, or it's near Alexander Lumber. I know if you call them Pregnancy Resource Center, they can tell you whether there's still time to get a reservation in. 398-6511, 217-398-6511.
Well, it's an exciting time for the Pregnancy Resource Center. I know that they just recently were able to break ground on Mercy's Refuge, which is adjacent to the Resource Center over there, and I think it's on Henry in Champaign, and that's been a long working with the city to get everything, all the T's crossed and I's dotted to be able to do that. But I know when I was over there last time, Greta was just beaming as she was looking out her window watching them scoop dirt out of there. And then she had also shared with me that they were on the cusp of being able to get involved in possibly purchasing a mobile resource center, which could go around and do ultrasounds in neighborhoods and things, so they'd be able to go to where the women are at. So God love Greta. She just actively and tenaciously leaning into the places that God's called her. I mean, she's not just... Look, for me, Greta's not just like worshiping God. She's got her hands in the air. She's screaming. I mean, she's all in. I mean, I know very few people who I go, man, they are all in. But God grabbed a hold of Greta's heart, and she just won't let go.
No, it's a phenomenal ministry where they've not only assisted so many women in this point of crisis where they're pregnant or they don't know what to do or what's the next steps or if I'm going to carry the baby to term, I need somebody to come alongside and help me. But how many of these women they've led to Christ that have accepted Jesus
led
Christ.
Led to Christ,
Lord
and then
Savior.
Because of certain things that they've done, save the babies. I mean, since Roe versus Wade, we got a pile of about 50 million babies and counting stacked up somewhere. And I mean, that's a sad and abysmal number for a cross-section of our society that could not defend themselves. I mean, these were just babies. These were in utero. They did no chance of being able to do that. And so it makes absolutely... I mean, you know, I was reading a thing the other day that just floored me. A pregnant woman could be on her way to an abortion clinic to get an abortion, to commit murder, and that's legal. But if she gets into a car accident and hits somebody and they die, it could be manslaughter. And so she's on her way to commit murder, and it's illegal. We say it's illegal. And so, I mean, for those people who might say the Holocaust was such a tragedy and the Holocaust was so... If you can say that about the Holocaust in one sentence, but you can't say the same about the wickedness and immorality of abortion, then I don't think you even know what the Holocaust was, because we have a Holocaust here in America now. And so, you know, my hat's off, my hands raised high, and just cheering Greta and the work that they do on, because that's frontline warfare ministry against an enemy who is killing babies. That's deceitful. That's wicked above all else.
Well, Rick Santorum, he thought it's one of the hinge points of this nation, and God in a sense, he was saying that God will not bless this nation as we continue down this road. And he said he felt like, because I asked him, I said, why are you carving out time? He's a CEO. He's writing books. He could even run again for maybe a position in the government.
They have a good chicken dinner at this thing.
I said, but why are you carving out time? And he said, Greta and these pregnancy centers are on the front line, and this is where I need to devote some time and energy and efforts. So, yeah, it's all happening this coming Tuesday, the 16th, and if you can still call in, we'd recommend you getting your reservation in right away, 217-398-6511. And the singing men of GNN, we're going to open up the evening, I think, right as they're serving dinner. I think we're going to sing four or five songs. So
nice.
We've been rehearsing those, and we'll be presenting in our tuxedo. So it'll be a fun gathering.
I heard about one of your singing men let me know that you had to wear the tuxedos.
Yeah.
there's a movement afoot to not wear tuxedos, I think.
Hey, I'm part of that. It's like, oh, I don't want to dress.
They really
up
like
that.
The polo shirts.
Yeah. So.
Oh, come on here. Transition.
I'm trying to think. How do I polo
us.
Shirt into God's word? You know what, listener?
Did you just say, how do I polo shirt into God's word?
How do I transition the polo shirt? You don't have to be wearing a polo shirt. In fact, you can wear name brand or. Okay. Hey, Jason, pray up our study
pull
of the
up,
Book of Acts.
Pull up.
And
pull up.
Help me out here, and we're going to dive into chapter 12
word.
Of this great Book of Acts.
Lord, we just ask that you would give us the ability. Lord, you would give us the courage to walk in your commandments, to walk in the fear of the Lord. You tell us in Proverbs 1:7 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. And Lord, we want desperately to have knowledge and wisdom, but knowledge and wisdom that comes from you, not worldly knowledge and wisdom. So we ask that as we walk in your ways, as we listen to your spirit, as we submit ourselves to you daily, that you would reveal yourself in such a way that we would become wise, not in the world's eyes, but wise in a way that it would bring glory to you. And we just ask, too, that we would make much of your great son, Jesus, that we would go through the world, go through our day, and living in such a way, worshiping in such a way that we would bring glory to the son, that we would be a living sacrifice because we worship a Savior who is alive. And we pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
So, yeah, Acts chapter 12. So we talked about... James got killed. He got killed by the sword. It says here in the Bible, in chapter 12 and verse 2, he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he pursued to arrest Peter also. So we remember we talked about Herod's not a popular cat. So when Herod gets James and he kills him, all of a sudden everybody starts clapping and cheering. And Herod, being despised by the Jews, wasn't used to this kind of treatment, wasn't used to being kind of celebrated in Jewish circles. So Herod goes, wait, you think that's good? I got another dude. Peter. and Peter was even more well known than James, and so he grabbed Peter. Now he needed to keep Peter in prison. So it says in Acts chapter 12 and verse 4, so after arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. So he literally parks a 4x4 on top of him. And a squad of 16 men detailed to watch over him. And these guys served in teams of four, taking three-hour shifts. That's how it worked in that time. And in the way that this happened was, one man, one of the guards, we know from historical accounts, would be chained to his right and one chained to his left, and two were at the door. And they changed these shifts every 3 hours to make sure they were fresh. So it wasn't just like there was four guys guarding him. He had two guys at the door and one guy chained to either side of him. Now, just imagine what this must be like in prison, because you're not going to really sleep too good while you've got two guards who are probably irritated that they even have to watch you, that they have to take care of you, chained to either side of you. So I got to think that it was just kind of a brutal situation to be in, a fearful situation to be in. And they did it because two reasons. Number one, Peter was a high-profile prisoner. So they go, this is Peter. And, you know, and Herod is going to get a rousing applause when we kill this guy. So he was high profile. I mean, imagine if Peter, something happened with Peter, what would Herod do to you? Now, in Roman circles, we know that if your prisoner escaped, you would meet the fate that the prisoner was supposed to meet. So these guys knew if Peter gets away, we're dead. Now, here's the problem. Number one, Peter's a high profile prisoner. What's number two? Peter has a knack for getting out of jail. Peter has a knack for being left alone in jail overnight, the ground shaking, the door opening up, and him walking out. and these were not stories that were just kind of told in church, you know, kind of in small group settings. These were stories that were circulated and widely known that Peter could get out of prison. This guy was like Houdini. He's Holy Spirit Houdini. Boom, out of prison. So they got two guys on either side of him, and those guys are probably like, you know, stay awake, keep your eye on him. We can't let him get out. But what's interesting here is that what we're going to see as this chapter goes on is that God sees our trials. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. So God noticed what happened. God was taking note of what was happening. And he saw the evil that was happening in and amongst his people. Unlike those of us who view this moment, God is outside of time. He's everlasting to everlasting. He has been and he always will be. He sees the beginning from the end. The Bible says the day is like 1,000 years to the Lord. And so God's going, it'll just be a few more moments. You know, which is kind of struggling for us, right? Because, I mean, how many times in our life have we said, Lord, when? And he's going, it's not even noon yet. You know, and so that whole day like 1,000 years thing is just kind of tough. And leading up to Peter here, some of us might ask, we might say, well, why did James have to die? I mean, why did Stephen have to die? Why did so many people of God have to suffer and have to die? You know, God has a perfect plan, and sometimes we don't have the answers to the why. Our job is simply to trust. Now, while it was sad for the church when Pastor James got his, he was beheaded with the sword, killed with the sword, do you think that James was complaining? Or do you think that he was celebrating glory? And so we see that Peter, it says beginning in verse 5, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. So listen to this. We have Peter in affliction, in prison, chained to two guys at the door. But what's happening? The church is earnestly praying for him. And not just praying for him, but it says earnestly praying to God for him. So their prayers, their intercession is directed to there. Now, what does the Bible say over and over? That God's ears are attentive to the cries of his people. And the Bible goes on to say, the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains as sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, I love when the Bible says suddenly because it's not really suddenly. I think that's for our benefit. That's not for the benefit of the Bible or for God, because God's going like, suddenly, I knew I was going to do that.
I'm surprised by my own action.
Oh, my gosh. Holy Spirit, can you believe what we're doing? I mean, God says that's not what's happening. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell, and he struck Peter on the side and woke him up. So Peter finally passes out. He's sleeping in such a way the Holy Spirit has to strike him with some light. Quick, get up, he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrist. You just got to think that Peter's just kind of like, wow. I mean, he's just nuts. I mean, and one of the questions I would ask in this passage is this. How could Peter even be asleep? He knew he was going to be killed. He knew that these two guys were chained to either side of him. He knew what was coming. He knew that Herod wanted him dead. It was going to be a big show. So how could Peter sleep? Faith. Faith. Faith, and I believe this. Through the calming prayers, calming earnest prayers of many, and through the words of Jesus Christ. He remembered Jesus' words by the Sea of Galilee in John 21, where he said, very truly I tell you, when you were younger you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted, but when you are old you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death to which Peter would glorify God when he said to him, follow me. Peter remembered that, and he remembered that it wasn't just follow me now, it was follow me into glory. So he knew that what Peter is exemplifying here is what Paul will later put words to in Philippians, to live as Christ, to die as gain. So unless Herod had a cross up his sleeve, he knew he wasn't dying anytime soon. By the way, if he did, like Paul, he knew that he would gain Christ in his death. He would gain Christ in his death. And so while evil is active in this moment, the church is praying earnestly. The church is praying earnestly. And in that, I would just say this, never discount your prayers. Never discount the prayers of the faithful people. I mean, I know some people who say to me, I just want to do something. And I'll say, well, let's pray. And some people almost treat it as though it's trite. Like, oh, we'll pray. But Charles Spurgeon said, if you've gathered the strength to pray, then you've done enough. And I believe that the only reason Peter has this calmness about him is his, number one, is his encouragement and his faith in Christ, but also it's the earnest prayers of the church and the people. Because it's not just that they prayed. The Bible doesn't just say they prayed. The Bible says they prayed earnestly to God. The Bible lets us know that there's a quality to their prayer that's earnest. It's not, they didn't gather together and go like, Lord, we just ask that you would just cover Peter in a hedge of protection. And, I mean, it's not just kind of a pious and religious prayer. There's an earnestness to this prayer. They're pleading for Peter in prayer. Somebody said, as I was thinking about this week, I remember a pastor who told me once, it said, it was the angel that pulled Peter out of prison, but it was also prayer that pulled the angel out of heaven. And I love that idea that these people were petitioning God and they were asking God to intercede on Peter's behalf. And God goes, yeah, that's actually what I'm going to do. That's actually what I'm going to do, but I'm going to do it for my glory. I'm going to let Herod think he's got a bit of steam in him. I'm going to let these guards think that they've got a bit of power. I'm going to let everything kind of come to this moment, but I've got it taken care of. You can trust me. I mean, so often I think that... Yesterday, I think it was, I had this thought. You know, Jesus told us, he said, don't worry about tomorrow because today has enough trouble of its own. And what does trouble seek to do to us? What does trouble seek to do to us? It seeks to unhinge the fact that Jesus has overcome the world. Jesus told us, he said, I have overcome the world. He made a very pointed statement to his disciples that the world cannot overcome me. And what is it that Jesus has overcome? This moment right now, and the next moment after this, every single moment that would seek to have you worry or become frustrated or become fearful or become scared, every moment that would seek to somehow make you believe that Jesus has not overcome the world, that Christ has not overcome the world. And yet by Jesus' own admission, he has. And if you need, if you're in one of those seasons, if you feel like you're in a prison and you've got guys chained to either side of you and two are at the door and you can't see what's happening and there are people earnestly praying for you but you don't realize it because it's just beyond your bounds because this is just such a tough place to be, at the very most, you need to remember Christ has overcome the world. And the world is not somewhere else, somehow else, someplace else. The world is where you're standing right now in Christ Jesus, and he has overcome that. And now your job, the challenge for you, is to remember that, to not let the moment overcome the Christ who overcame the world.
Remember, embrace, and lean into.
There you go. Remember, embrace, and lean into. And now we need to remember that SRN News is coming. We need to embrace them, and we need to lean into.
And pray for the newscast, because there's probably a lot of needs for the entire world that Jesus has to shine his light and his hope and his redemptive message into. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.